Thanks for listening to our podcast. We've got more information and additional resources at probe.org/podcast. And be sure to check out our life-changing Summer Mind Games Camp for high school and college students.
One of the most bitter clashes of worldview is between the ACLU and the Boy Scouts. Byron Barlow offers an insider's insight now on Probe.
In a gang-ridden section of Dallas, 13-year-old Jose saw a Boy Scout recruiting poster. Well, that started Jose's improbable climb to scouting's highest rank of Eagle and a life of beating the odds. He said this about Scoutmaster Mike Ross. "He was a father figure watching over me, the first time I felt it from someone other than my single mom." Well, in February 2010, the Boy Scouts of America, or BSA, celebrated a century of building traditional values into nearly 100 million youths like Jose through adults like Mr. Ross. The original Boy Scouts began in England in 1907. The Prime Minister said the new movement was potentially the greatest moral force the world has ever known. Yet, surprisingly, there are those who would gut the movement of its culture-shaping distinctives. This week we take a look at the warring worldviews of the BSA and its archenemy, the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU. In his book, On My Honor, Why the American Values of Scouting Are Worth Fighting For, Texas Governor and Eagle Scout Rick Perry writes, "The institutions we saw as bulwarks of stability, such as Scouts, are under steady attack by groups that seem intent upon remaking, if not replacing them, in pursuit of a very different worldview. In a crusade to elevate the minority viewpoints of girls who want entry, as well as atheists and gay activists, the ACLU's unending efforts to ensure inclusiveness undermine the very Scout laws and oath that makes it strong. Commitment to virtues like kindness, helpfulness, and trustworthiness. This is no less than a war of worldviews. I ran through all the ranks from Cub Scouts to Eagle Scout, worked professionally with the BSA, and now serve as Assistant Scoutmaster. I have firsthand lifelong knowledge of scouting's benefits to boys, their families, and society. And nowhere else can young men in the making be exposed to dozens of new interests, which often inspire lasting careers, and gain confidence in everything from leadership to life-saving to family life. Scouting is good life skills insurance. But scouting is also good for culture. Harris pollsters found that former scouts agreed in larger numbers than non-scouts that the following behaviors are wrong under all circumstances: to exaggerate one's education on a resume, lie to the IRS, and steal office supplies for home use. The absolutist morality of scouting stands in stark relief to the moral relativism of our day and the ACLU's worldview. Wouldn't you prefer to hire someone with scouting's values? Tomorrow we discuss how scouting's worldview has been challenged by political correctness.
This has been Probe with your host, Byron Barlow. There's a lot more to the worldview clash between the Boy Scouts of America and the ACLU, so be sure to get your free copy of Byron's transcript at probe.org/radio. And be sure to join us next time here on Probe.
The Boy Scouts of America celebrates its centennial, but its longtime nemesis, the ACLU, isn't celebrating. In fact, they and others have maintained a siege against the BSA in court in order to transform key characteristics including scouting's duty to God, the exclusion of openly gay leaders, and scouting's access to government forums like schools. In all, the Boy Scouts have been involved in 30 lawsuits since the filing of the original case, many brought by the ACLU. The opening shot was a string of lawsuits on behalf of girls who wanted to become members. The primary legal issue regarding these kinds of cases is public accommodation. The BSA's position is that refusing membership to certain individuals, like girls and open gays, is its right as a private organization. The freedoms of speech and association are at stake for the BSA. Indeed, the definition of freedom of association is the right guaranteed especially by the First Amendment to join with others as a part of a group, usually having a common viewpoint or purpose, and often exercising the right to assemble and to free speech. In the case of Manx versus the BSA, the plaintiff claimed that restricting membership to boys amounted to sex discrimination. Yet the court decided against the claim on the basis that the Boy Scouts did not, in creating an organization to help develop the moral character of young boys, intentionally set out to discriminate against girls. Even the U.S. Congress chartered separate scouting organizations, one for girls, one for boys, not one unisex organization. C.S. Lewis puts it this way in discussing the crisis of post-Christian education. "We make men without chests and expect of them virtue and enterprise. We laugh at honor and are shocked to find traitors in our midst." Well, I believe that even the most committed feminists would inwardly hope for brave and virtuous men of integrity. That's what the Boy Scouts is all about engendering, young men with chests. Underneath all these battles lies an aversion to any kind of discrimination of supposed victims. The ACLU's goals raise ethical concerns, though. When one individual or a minority seeks rights that are not in the best interest of the community at large, it leads to unintended consequences, like possibly shutting down good institutions, like the Scouts. It's understandable why some girls would want to participate. However, given gender differences and the right to freedom of association, it seems best to restrict the Boy Scouts to boys. A very contentious battle between the Boy Scouts of America and the equal rights advocates revolves around disallowing openly gay leaders from joining the organization. The BSA's position is that a homosexual who makes his sex life a public matter is not an appropriate role model of the Scout oath and law for adolescent boys. Or as Eagle Scout and Texas Governor Rick Perry puts it, tolerance is a two-way street. The Boy Scouts is not a proper intersection for a debate over sexual preference. A number of active homosexuals, with the assistance of the ACLU and other gay activist organizations, have challenged the BSA's longstanding policy. The landmark Dale case featured a lifelong Scouter who discovered his gay identity, only then to realize the Scouts' policy against openly gay leaders. Eventually landing in the U.S. Supreme Court, BSA v. Dale marked the end of cases in this category. The Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that state laws may not prohibit the BSA's moral point of view and the right of expressing its own internal leadership. Ultimately, gay people could launch their own organization, and any Scout would recognize the right for them to do this. Even the courts have implied this view, again and again upholding the Scouts' rights to operate the way they see fit. Why would it be improper for a private organization like the BSA to restrict leadership to those who share its values? BSA units do not routinely ask a prospective adult leader about his or her sex life. This approach falls in line with the controversial "don't ask, don't tell" doctrine of the U.S. military that's currently in court. Where members of the military may be concerned about the effect of another squad member's sexuality on its rank-and-file members, Scout units are concerned with the even greater influence of adults on the minds and morals of the children they lead. A biblical worldview recognizes that beliefs that gay rights supersede traditional moral teachings spring from the fleshly, fallen state of man's soul. Romans 1 says humans suppress the truth and speaks out against unnatural acts in a clear allusion to homosexual unions. People, sometimes believers, fight morality as revealed by God through our conscience and stated moral law. The virtue ethics of the Scouts at least makes room for this morality. Well, despite all the cases, evidence of a planned strategic legal assault on the Scouts didn't arise until the ACLU became involved, with cases that focused on the Scouts' duty to God. That'll be tomorrow's focus. Boy Scouts and Scout leaders are really into patches for our uniforms. One of the most beautiful I've ever owned is my Duty to God patch. The requirements were minimal. Take part in several devotions and lead blessings over the food. Nothing dictated which God to pray to, or just a built-in acknowledgement of the Creator. This non-sectarian, undirected acknowledgement of God is classic Scout stuff. The program has long featured specific, special awards for all major world religions, including Christianity. Scouting's Creator consciousness can seem vague, or even smack of animistic native and religion, but troops chartered by Christian organizations can simply turn it into a chance to honor the God of the Bible. This hallmark of Scouting is vilified by atheists and agnostics, who would participate in Scouting, only minus the nod to God. The ACLU has carried out a culture-wide campaign to cut out all mention of God from the public square, motivated by a warped value of self-determination. Seeking protections from all things religious, the ACLU's activist lawyers have raised human autonomy up as the ultimate good, and the Boy Scouts are a tempting target. Where do the ACLU's motivations come from? Apparently from the ideology known as humanism, a philosophical commitment to man as the measure of all things, coupled with an atheist, anti-supernatural bias. When the BSA lays out its broad yet very absolute requirements, the most prominent and controversial are a, quote, duty to God and Scouts' pledge to be reverent. Well, this sharply clashes with the ACLU's ideals of secularism and humanism. In effect, the BSA directly challenges the sacred-secular split so prevalent today, where faith is to be kept totally private and godless science serves as the only source of real knowledge. As a result of this worldview mistake, religious commitments and supernatural are relegated to the personal, subjective, and ultimately meaningless level. The ACLU was not involved in the first duty to God cases against the Scouts. Yet by 2007, its involvement in 14 cases against the Boy Scouts had covered cumulatively more than 100 years of litigation. The ACLU's view is that if one citizen believes there is no God, they must be protected from public references to an almighty creator. When they get their way, the ACLU enforces upon us the tyranny of the minority. Thank God the courts have not yet allowed that to happen. A fellow in my Sunday school sounded alarmed when I asked the class to pray for a scouting trip. "Isn't the Boy Scouts a Mormon outfit?" he said. Well, since Mormons use Scouts as their official youth program for boys, his experience was skewed. Yet the BSA is non-sectarian. The Boy Scout Handbook explains a Scout's duty to God like this. Your family and religious leaders teach you about God and the ways you can serve. You do your duty to God by following the wisdom of those teachings every day and by respecting and defending the rights of others to practice their own beliefs. Note the genuine tolerance toward other religions. Even a pack or troop member cannot be forced by that unit to engage in religious observances with which they disagree. This policy is the best way to handle a wide-open boys' training program in a very pluralistic culture. A lot of Christians talk as if any kind of pluralism is anathema, especially the religious kind, as if we should live in a thoroughly Christianized society that, for all intents and purposes, is just like church. However, that's not realistic. God himself tacitly acknowledged, even in the theocracy of the Old Testament period, that living around his people were those of other religions. Jehovah didn't force people to believe in him. God was pluralistic in the sense of allowing man's free will. Well, the Boy Scouts reflects this larger reality, and it serves the organization well. It's not seeking to be a church or a synagogue or temple. The BSA's scoutcraft skills and coaching, its citizenship and moral training remains open to people of all religions. The BSA's vagueness regarding duty to God is actually a plus for Christians interested in promoting their own understanding of God and his world. Talk about a platform to pass along a biblical worldview. Think of it. Scouting's genius is that it combines outdoor exploits like regular camping trips and high-adventure activities with moral and religious instruction in the context of boy-run leadership training. Regular and intensive meetings with dedicated adults to review skills and scouting's ideals provide a lot of time for what amounts to discipleship. Some of the richest ministry I've ever had in my quarter century as a full-time minister have been during Scoutmaster-to-Scout conferences in the great outdoors. If you're committed to seeing the next generation of boys walk into adulthood, not only as capable young men, but with their faith intact, scouting is one of the best venues out there. Hopefully the ACLU won't be able to quash that.